106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. More and less in the morning. It's Thursday, and it's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
This is a topic that I don't think we've ever discussed before, but I remember I had a little dog that had this little bump that came up on her lower abdomen, and it was a hernia, and I've not had any dogs have them since. So I thought maybe we could kind of explore that, talk about hernias, maybe the different types, and maybe how they're caused and what we can do to help our pets if they have one.
Sure. A hernia is in most often the muscle wall. And the most common hernia is an umbilical hernia, where usually we'll notice them in puppies and kittens during the first exam, where there's a deficit in the abdominal wall. It doesn't close like it should, and it still has that hole where that the umbilical cord connected to the mom. So in utero, when baby was getting nutrients from her. So they're born, the cord's not used anymore, obviously, and the puppy or kitten starts to exist on their own, and that muscle is supposed to close over at that point. And sometimes it doesn't. And what happens then is you have this deficit in the muscle wall where abdominal contents are able to just compress up against the skin itself. There's nothing containing them. Most often, it's so tiny that, you only get a little bit of a slippage of some of the cementum or some of the connective tissue fat from the abdominal cavity is just kind of pushing through that hole, and you can push it back up. But sometimes it's larger, and either way, when it comes to our puppies and kittens, if they have a true hernia, so if you can still push that material back up and the hole is open and patent by the time that we spay or neuter them, then we'll correct it at that time. We'll go in and freshen the edges and just suture the muscle wall together. And that most of the time is a non-issue. Sometimes even before we can get to do that, to correct that hernia, the muscle has continued to close, and you just have some of the tissue that was once inside the abdomen is now kind of trapped outside, maybe a little bit of fat there, kind of healed over. And sometimes you'll feel that bump there, but when you go to push it, it won't go back up into the abdomen, and that means that it's healed over, so it's not a true hernia anymore. So those are the most common.
Are they painful for our pets?
I would say no, but it depends on the type of hernia. So the umbilical hernias, the puppies and kittens, you would not notice that anything else was wrong except you were petting them, they were on their back, and you notice this little protrusion at the belly. Umbilical hernias are relatively stable, so they don't tend to be painful. Now, you can get other types of hernias, inguinal hernias, so still talking about the abdominal cavity, but moving on down to the groin region, you can get hernias there where you get a deficit in the muscle wall and you get some abdominal contents kind of protruding out there. That can be dangerous because the bladder's there. And, if that were to get trapped out, the bladder kind of decreases in size and increases in size depending on if it's full or not. And so when it was in a small size, if it kind of migrated out of that hernia site, out of the abdominal cavity into that pouch, and then all of a sudden it started to fill with urine, then it would become trapped out there and strangulated, and that could be an emergency situation. You can get hernias of any type. We just don't see it so much with the puppies and kittens with umbilical hernias, but if it's an acquired hernia, as they get older, there's always the risk of strangulation. So that's the main risk for any kind of hernia, is if you were, instead of just some intestinal fat or omental tissue, if you get pieces of bowel that actually slip into the hole into the hernia pouch and they become strangulated, then that's a huge emergency situation as well, because it presents like a foreign body. You have a blockage, and that ring of the deficit in the abdominal wall can kind of strangulate or pinch off that bowel, and then you get blood supply, kind of inflammation and swelling and everything else in that area, and that can become very painful. That can be a little bit dangerous. The inguinal hernias, I think we noticed that they're a little bit more dangerous, or I have clinically, than your umbilical hernias in puppies and kittens. The ones, in the inguinal cavity can be pretty dangerous. You can also get perineal hernias. We notice these most often in dogs that are intact males that haven't been neutered. They can get a hernia just to the left or right of the tail. There can be a muscle thinning that occurs and any kind of increased pressure in that area can create a hernia there. So that's interesting. That presents as a little bulge to the left or right of the tail. And that can be a complication as well because of where it is. We worry about intestines. We worry about bladder. We worry about a lot in that area. That one can be is notoriously difficult to correct as well. I'll tackle umbilical hernias, inguinal hernias, but when you're a perineal hernia, there's so many nearby structures that would be a cause for concern. I usually refer those out also because they tend to not do very well post-op in terms of it can herniate again. So that's an area of concern. And then you can actually get a diaphragmatic hernia. So these we often will see not as a congenital issue or even as an acquired issue, but more of a result of traumatic injury. So significant traumatic injury. So being hit by a car, that's probably the most common cause of a diaphragmatic hernia. The pressure is just so great that you get abdominal contents kind of going through the diaphragm into the lung field. And so you can imagine that when you see that on X-ray, that's a pretty severe condition because all of a sudden it's not just that you're worried about strangulation of intestines or damage to organs, but you're worried about being able to breathe because all of a sudden you've got contents in the lung fields that are not supposed to be there. So that's probably the worst of all of them to have.
Now, can they all be dealt with surgically?
Yes. They can all be dealt with surgically. I haven't tackled diaphragmatic hernias simply because once you have an insult to the thoracic cavity, you really should have equipment to be able to, you should have a ventilator or mm-hmm. some way to be able to ventilate. But all the others, are pretty straightforward. They're all surgical corrections, which is nice because there's a problem and you can go in there and fix that. It's just there are degrees of success rates, I guess I would say, with the different hernias.
Mm-hmm. Would the most successful and easiest to treat probably be the umbilical?
Absolutely. And it's the easiest surgery to perform as well. The inguinal hernia, I mean, that can be pretty straightforward as well, but the complications there are usually that's an acquired hernia, and by the time that we get to it, there's a lot of adhesions and things that scarring tissue, not old scarring tissue, but adhesions. So the result of inflammation, it doesn't look like, it's not just a simple, here's the hole in the abdominal wall, here's the little pouch, and there's the intestine. A lot of times there's been damage done to the intestine, and it can be pretty darn difficult to move through the different layers of adhesions and inflammation to actually get to it and recognize which tissue is which. So that can be difficult in itself. And then the location of where the closure is and trying to freshen that abdominal wall, that's the part of the abdominal wall that is right up against the groin. So you don't have a lot of wall, abdomen, the muscle. You don't have a lot of that on the other side of your, you've got plenty on the one side, but if you think about it, the one that's tucked down by the groin, there's just not a whole lot to be able to grab onto and close. So it can be a tricky area for sure to try and correct, but it can be done. It's going to take a heck of a lot longer than your umbilical hernias, which are pretty straightforward. And also you're doing them in a younger animal. So there's not a whole lot of abdominal fat that you're contending with. It's usually something that because it's been congenital, there aren't adhesions. Usually there's not a strangulation. Usually there's not much of a pouch there. So I'd say hands down, the umbilical hernia is the easiest to correct.
So if you notice an unusual bulge, either in the umbilical area or further back on the belly of your pet, how imperative is it to get to the vet to have that examined?
So I would judge it the way you judge anything else. I mean, does it hurt when you push on it? Are they eating and drinking? Are they moving around? Would you think that there was anything off otherwise than just this visible appreciation of a bulge that they're, anywhere? And if there's not, then I think you're typically okay to watch unless you really want to, you want to figure out what's going on. If you push on a hernia and there aren't too many adhesions on it and it's not too old of a hernia, you will feel it reduce. So you'll feel it go back up through the muscle. So if you do that, and then you move your hand, and then with increased abdominal pressure, that's when you get the material kind of coming back through the abdominal wall again. Then it's a good bet that there's a hernia there. But hernias, there are differentials. There are other things that could be going on when you think you have a hernia, right? Because masses of any kind, sometimes it's even hard for me to tell if it's a mass or if it's a hernia, just because the location might be a location where you would expect a hernia, but it's not an easy push back up into the abdominal cavity. So it can be a little confusing sometimes with some, you know, masses. That's something that you might want to have checked out anyway. So those are really the big ones, trying to differentiate between, okay, is this a subcutaneous growth we're dealing with, or is this a hernia? Because they present the same as a bulge in the skin.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Dr. Crockett on a future show, you can email it to her at askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.